We're starting at the top of Samach Tehran Aleph. Yesterday we finished up a little bit into Samach Tehran Aleph quickly because it was towards the end there. I just wanted to pass it over now that you have the sugi laid out before you over here. Right, again, we had six cases in the Gemara, and laid out the six cases that you have in the sheet in front of you. I laid out the six cases. Right, three of those cases we said that the Av had the ability to be made for the neder, even though the Baal has somehow been eliminated from the picture. And the other three cases, the Baal is unable, right, or the father in one case is unable to exercise the right to be made for the neder, either because of the action of the Baal, but most of the cases because the father is not present. Alright, and then we spoke yesterday that each section of this brisa that's brought down from the septa, that each one of them, what's the chiddush in each aspect of the Gemara yesterday, and that's what the Ran spoke about. And I mentioned yesterday that the key issue that the Ran focuses on is Iklish, you know, the Kalish Lay, the Iklish Lay, that he weakened the nether. Right? And that's what the Havamina and all these issues are, that the Havamina or the Maskana has to do with the weakened form of the nether. And since you have a weakened form of nether, or a possibility of a weakened form of nether, therefore someone might lose their rights. So if you look in the, before we start the Gemara, just look at the sheet quickly, and you can see the cases that are laid out here together. If you see number one, the first case that the Gemara brought down, right, was Bizman Shlo Shama Habal. Right, there is where the husband never heard it come from Shemot. O Shishama, he heard it Bishatak. O Shishama Behefar, or he heard it and he was Mefer. Umes Bovayom, and he died on that day. Right, so either he died prior to his expiration of his time, he never heard about it, or he heard about it and he was Mefer. So there we said, Nitrokhnu Rishus Ba'av, that the Av has the ability to, right, to be made for the nether afterwards. Why? Why is that? The Ran says, right, the chiddush in this aspect of the Gemara is that even though the avakav below aklish nether, here the nether is not weakened at all, right? Because the cases the Baal heard it, v'shatak, and he was silent. And nevertheless, the father can be, right, made for it. So that's the issue in the Ran, the chiddush in this aspect, is that despite the fact that the neder is in full force, because the husband did nothing, nevertheless, the father has enough power to be made for the neder in that instant.
It says, O Shishama V'Hefer.
Right, that's another aspect of that piece, but the piece here that he's focused on is O Shishama V'Shatak.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shama V'Shatak issue is what the chiddush in this first part.
I see, okay. Right?
It's less surprising that Shama Behavior, he's able to get
the... Although the Ran will find an issue with Shama Behavior, because the Ran, that will be the next section, like number four. Number four is the next case, with Shama Bala, right? The husband heard it, Behavior Law, and he was made for it. This is your question, Svi. Below he speak Avlish Mudge, made the Bala, and the father never heard about it, and the husband died. So this is the Chiddush. What's the Chiddush by the case where the husband was made for it? And the father did not hear it, so that's what the Ran says. If you look in the Ran, lo hispik hu dechadit haka. The chiddush in this aspect of the Gemara is that lo hispik, the father never had a chance to hear about it. Why is that a chiddush? The ikalamemar, because of that, came into afar the kama ma'alya, since the first afar was good, came into hefer, below niru l'sheni, never reached the second one, meaning the av, the iklish, lay nidra, the nether is weakened, tuva, below mishtarabe elaporta. It's only a tiny bit left. The name of the Ahu Porta came into Iklish Kalish Leituva Eino Kedai Laurisha La'av. Since it's such a little insignificant piece that's left over, it's possible that the father cannot inherit that right anymore. And so now, this is the opposite of what we had in the first case. In the first case, the Kiddush was that even though the nether is in full force, right, the father has the ability to be made for the nether when it's in full force, meaning that he can take over basically the husband's rights and be made for the nether. In the second case, we're saying the chiddush is that even though the Baal was made for the nether, and the nether went away, it's basically gone away from the Baal's perspective, nevertheless the father can still be made for the nether, not because you would think, oh, it's in a weakened state, of course he can do it. That would be a kal v'chomer from the first case, right? The first case he can do it when it's in full force, of course when it's weakened he can do it, but the Ran says it's a chiddush when it's weakened. What's the chiddush when it's weakened? That he can actually get the right. Right? You have to have a right to inherit or to get from the Baal, but if the right doesn't exist, maybe it's just too insignificant or too weakened for him to actually inherit it. And that's the chiddush of this aspect. Right? The number four, the fourth case that the Gemara brings down, is that the chiddush of that aspect that what? And when you have a weakened nether, the father can still take possession of it. The last case, which is today's Gemara, this is the last case, number six, is Shama Biha, the father heard, Vid Hefer Law, and he was made for it. So as opposed to the husband hearing and being made for it, here the father is made for it. Although he speak about the shema jmeis, and the husband dies, he's not in the picture anymore. So there we say, Chozer Abu Mefer Chelko Shobal. Right? The Beis Shammai says that the father can go back and be Mefer the portion of the Baal. So Amar Rabbi Nachman, Hein Hein Divrei Beis Shammai. That's the position of Divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Amrim, Ein Yochel Lehefer. But Beis Hillel says you can't be Mefer. What's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? That was the machlokes whether it's Mikas Gaius or Miklash Polish. But you see what? According to Beis Hillel, that's the problem in this last case is the weakened nether. So in the first two cases, we have a full-fledged nether. In a full-fledged nether, the Av is able to overcome that and be made free. The second case, we have a nether that's been weakened, and yet, what, the father is able to inherit that right and still be made for it. In this last case, what's the problem? The problem is that the nether remains in its weakened state. Because in the first case, we thought maybe it would be too weak for the husband to inherit it, but then we say, no, the hamaskana, the husband died. When he died, his hafara goes away. And therefore, the nether does still comes to the father. The problem in the last case is, who weakened the nether? The nether is weakened by the father. And the father is still alive. So you can't say that the death of the husband brings the nether back to its full force. That's not true anymore. Because the one who made the hafara is not the one who died. And that's what Beis Hillel said in this last case. Since the father did the hafara, right, the father did the nullification, right, then the husband dies, he can't get the right from the husband because the nether is now in this weakened state and he cannot inherit the weakened nether. And so those are the three cases that relate to the father. In the first two cases, the father is able to get a possession. Then one, because in both those cases, the nether remains in its full force. Right? In the first case, because the Baal heard about it and never did anything. That's one. The second case, the Chiddush, is even though the Baal was Miklish Kolishlit, even though he weakened it, he dies. When he dies, it returns back to its original state. Therefore, he can inherit. The last case, and this is where Beis Hillel's Chiddush is, right, that he weakened the nether, and then he's still alive. The one who died is not the one who weakened the nether. Therefore, the nether remains in its weakened state, and he's unable to get possession of it, the father. Since he's unable to get possession of it, he cannot be made in the nether, according to Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, he was a Mikas Goyis. The father cut it off, and therefore the nether for the half of the husband remains in its full force. If that's the case, he can inherit it. When he can inherit that right, he can be made fair the nether according to Beis Shammai. Right, so those are the three cases that relate to the father. When it comes to the other three cases, if you look, number two also deals with the father. This is the obvious case. Aval in Shama v'kayim, this is the Baal. The Baal hears about it and is mekayim the nether. Osh Shama v'shatak, or he heard about it and he was silent, but then he's waited, he didn't die till the next day, then a shtika is the equivalent of a kiyum. So it's basically, in those cases, a kiyum, and yochel hefer, the husband, the father is out of the picture, because the Baal took a positive action. In this case, we can't say that maybe he would have been made fair, maybe the father can't get, he exercised his right to block, and he did block it. So there's nothing to talk about. Now the next two cases are cases where the Baal is looking like the father. So in case number three, shama abiha v'hefer la. The father hears about it and he does a fara. Well, he speak Baal Lishmo, Achimet the Av, and the husband does not have enough chance to hear it until the father dies. So in this case, what's going to happen? We're going to think that this is the same Havamina we had in number four. Right? In the same case, number four, we had the Havamina what? That it's a weakened nether. It's a weakened nether. We suggested according to when the father had it right, maybe he couldn't inherit it because it was such a weakened nether. In this case, we're saying, oh, it's such a weakened nether. Maybe the husband can be made for it. It's so little, it's so insignificant. Maybe the husband can be made for the nether.
In case number four, we concluded that the death of the husband undid his...
And that's the same thing. That'll be the same here. I'm talking about and the Havamina versus the Maskana. The Maskana, you're right. If you look in the last... here. If you look in the last, towards the end of the round here, in that case number three, you'll see a Afilu Hachi, Bichi Maizplei Av, Kamle Nidra Kami Kara. Right? That's when the Av dies. It goes back to its original state, the nether. That's what you're saying exactly, Shaul, right? That's what we concluded number three. Number four, same conclusion here in number three. I'm just saying, what is the Havamina that the Baal should be able to do it? What's the Havamina according to the Ryan is that in its weakened state, the Baal might, even though he can't be major in general, take over the father's rights, but here, since it's so weakened, maybe he could take it over. Maskana is no. Even though it's a weakened state, right? That's the Havamina if you look in the Ryan. How purta tiskele b'afarad ba'al, right? And that he says it a number of times. That ikushle, these are a number of different rants. I put together, these are three different rants here. But he says it three different times, three different places, that the weakened status of this number three could maybe allow the husband to be makrit. And the maskana is no, that when the father dies, there must be, the nether turns back to its original state. In its original state, the father could inherit it, but the ba'al does not have that power. And that's what we talked about, the unevenness of the relationship here.
So in a situation where a woman and a man get engaged, and the father passes away, and then the husband hears of nedarim, there's no tikkun.
That nedarim that were kodmin? No, maybe there is. If the father never heard about them, it may not be an issue. Because they're not considered in existence, in some sense, until they're heard about, right? So then, if the father never heard about them,
okay. Well, if he did hear about them,
right? Oh, if he heard about them, yes. Then you're
that's when Mark is,
right? That's when Mark
is. Or if the girl was an orphan, and the guy is married to the orphan,
right? Well, then that depends how old she is, right? If she's a katana, no. If she's
a mother or brother,
married, as long as she's a katana, if she's a bulgarian, then she marries herself off, right? Yeah.
And according to the
then you may not be.
That says beino levena is dvarim shebetzina,
right?
Then he really has no ability.
I think your question is an interesting question. I don't know if that's what you're asking, but it is an interesting question. If the father, if she marries, but then the father's dead, he marries an orphan, right, and has kiddushin with her, can he be made for bekodman?
That's what I'm talking
right.
about.
Right, so that's the question. I don't know, it's a good question, because since the father's not in existence, maybe he has no right to get the whole reason he can get the kodman is because of the father. There's
association with
the father. Maybe the fact that there is no father, maybe he can't. That's a good question. I didn't think of that, but that's a good question. Alright, I didn't see that in the Rishonim, but we'll keep searching for you. Alright. So that's case number three. So now you see that the Ran spends a lot of time. Why the Ran is so big on Samach Chedem and Bet is because of this number three and number four. Yes, the Havamina in both these cases is that we have a weakened nether. Right? That we have a weakened nether. And the Maskana is no, that when the person dies, the Zahara goes away, and we're back to a full-fledged nether. But what is the Havamina when it's a weakened nether? The Ran gives two Havaminas. In the case by the father, when it's the father, he says the weakened nether, he can't inherit. It's so insignificant, he can't inherit it. On the other hand, in our case here with the Baal, who survives, right, he says it's so weakened, maybe the Baal could be made for it. Right, so he's playing both sides of the coin. And that's what the Ran spent time on, saying, you could say both sides. A weakened nether could be both insignificant in the sense that you can't inherit it, but also maybe insignificant in the right that the Baal could be made for it. Obviously, you can't have both. But that's the Havamina of these two cases. The Maskana, to exercise both sides of it, right. So therefore, in the end, the Maskana is that when he dies, the Farah goes away. And when the Farah goes away, you have a full-fledged nether. Full-fledged nether the father can inherit, and the Baal does not have the ability to be made for it. Then our last case is case number five. Case number five is Shoma Bala, Vahefer La. The husband hears about it and is made for it. Below, you speak of the Shema and Shemes. The father never hears about it until he dies. So again, of a hafa the Iklish late. This is another case in the Ryan. It says that it's an Iklish. But here, what's the south of the Aflamina? Came into college late. Below, you start with Akamisa Zab Elapurta. Aportiske lay Bahafar's Baal. Again, so here, this is even in a weaker case. Why is this case even weaker? Because the father never heard about it. In the other cases, right, in the other case, the father did the hafara, and then he dies. When he dies, the hafara goes away, and the nether returns to its full-fledged state. In case number five, who did the hafara? The Baal. It's the husband who does the hafara. Who passes away? The father. When the father passes away, is the nether now returned to its original state? No, because the hafara was done by the Baal. You have a weakened nether. So then in this case, as opposed to case number four and three, where the weakened nether returns after the death, the original state, in the 6 and 5, the weakened state remains, because the one who died is not the one who did the hafara. Right, so in that case, we would think maybe the Baal should have enough power to be made for the nether. The conclusion of the Gemara is no, the Baal doesn't have enough power to be made for the nether. And according to Beit Hillel, even the father doesn't have a right to be made for it, because when it remains in its weakened state, the father can't inherit it. Since he can't inherit it, he can't overcome that right, he can't be made for the nether. So again,
the five, the issue is that the Baal isn't yoresh the nether.
No, that he doesn't have power to, he needs the shikpus ha'av. He's not able to exercise his own right to be made for the klisha, the nether, that weak nether. Right, either, you're right, because in the other side of the case we're saying that the father can't inherit it. It's true, that might be a problem. But the Gemara does not reject it for that reason. The Gemara rejects it from his inability to be made for the nether. I mean, the Baal is not even strong enough to be made for such a weak nether. That's what the Gemara says. So he needs the shukla.
Even if he would be able to.
Even if he was able to inherit it, he couldn't. He couldn't do it because he doesn't have enough power to do it. All right. So
It could be the case that Tzvi was asking, or part of the case that Tzvi was asking about, was it would be if, it would be like case number five, except that the father died before even the Baal heard about it.
Right, I'm saying, like case number five, but the father dies before even the Baal heard about it. Right, right. Case number five. Right, so that's a question. Whether the fact that the father dies, well, one is the codeman. So he's asking, the codeman asks you, you're asking even literally, if the father dies beforehand and then it's just the husband, I think it's fine. I think the husband can do it. I think the husband can deal with Nadarim. Once the father's out of the picture, as long as the Nadarim didn't exist, you know, being that they weren't known about prior to this, it's not. But the codeman issue, which Tzvi asks, is a good issue because then his rights to codeman only come from the father.
According to some affirmation, there's no such thing as Beinol Beinol until they get married.
There's no Beinol Beinol. Right. I mean, it's the same, you're asking the same problem, which is that the husband's right to deal with Beinol Beinol should only be from the time the relationship starts. Right, meaning not from
their marital relationship.
I mean, from the suin. Right, oh, right. From the suin stuff. Right, but that's even with kiddushin. You could say it, that the relationship starts, you know, from kiddushin. So why should he have any rights? Depending where you learn out the rights of the husband, you can learn out the rights of the husband according to the Tanna Berurah Shmuel. You're learning out from the Hekesh between the father and the husband. Beinol Beinol. Right, and the other limud is from where? It's from in Beit Ish. It's from the Hayoti Aliish. Right, depending where you learn it from, it might be that the husband has different rights in each of these cases. Because if you learn it from Beinol Beinol, it might be that it's simply premised on the relationship issue. If the relationship issue, then maybe it can't be Maker B'Kodman. If you say Hayot Eliish, maybe that those psukim literally say that the husband has rights to be Maker. And once we say he has rights, he can even do the Kodman when the Av's out of the picture. Because normally the Av's there, but maybe it's out of the picture. It's a good question. Alright, just to lay it out again, we'll read the Gemara now quickly afterwards, but just to lay it out. You have a set of cases, right? We'll start from the bottom up. You have the last two cases, 5 and 6, where the person who does the afara is still alive. So the person who does the afara is still alive. The one who died, right, was not as afara. You have a weakened nether. Because the nether remains in its weakened state, that is what the failure is in these two cases. Basil says that's why the father can't exercise his rights, because he can't inherit that weakened right. And the husband can't be made fair, because the husband doesn't even have an ability to be made fair a weakened nether, that type of weakened nether. He's so impotent, you know, in terms of his ability to be maker, that he can't even make for such a weakened state, right? And then in 4 and 3, right, the middle cases are what's the finish in the middle cases that we would have thought, since it's a weakened nether, right? Since it's a weakened nether, that they should either the father should not be able to inherit it, or that the husband should have the ability to be maker the nether in that weakened state. The maskana is, the one who died is the one who did the hafara. The one who died was the one who made the hafara. When he died, the hafara is reversed, and the nether reverts back to its strengthened state. So therefore, for the father, in the full-fledged nether can be inherited to him, and he can take care of it. The husband, that presents too big an obstacle. Even if it's in the full-fledged nether, the husband cannot be made for the nether. And the first case is a case where we have a full-fledged nether to start with, right? And that full-fledged nether to start with, if the baal was made fair, right, or not Mefer, not really Mefer, he was Shatok, he did nothing, or the case where he's Mekayim. The case where he's Mekayim, can't do anything now because he exercised his veto right, it's over. But if he's Shatok, he said when it's a full-fledged nether, then the father can take it. That's the Kiddush of the first case. Even in a full-fledged state, the father can get, right, he exercises his rights. All right, so those are the three stages of the Gemara. Here we're just laid out in the chart. Hopefully it makes it a little easier to see what the Gemara did over here and see why the Ran was struggling so much with the Gemara. Alright, we'll just read it inside. I'll just read this Gemara inside just for you. I mean, you know it now because we just read it, but just for today's daf, Samachtan Amad Aleph, we'll start with that last case. Shama Aviha, and the father heard of it, of a hefer law, and he was made for it. Lo yispik abal l'shma achemes. So who dies? The husband dies, even though the father was named achemes. Chozer abu mefer. He's Av can go back and do a fara, kol kosho baal. Amar Matan, hein hein divrei Beit Shammai. That's only according to Beit Shammai. Why? Because Beit Shammai in Yochel Afer. He can't be made for. Why? Shmamino, that's the difference between them. Beit Shammai believes that when you're made for the nether, you cut it in half. So if you cut it in half, when the father was made for the nether, he cut his piece off. But the husband's piece remained in full force. That the father can inherit. That's why he can be made for it. According to Beit Hillel, when you take the made for the nether, when the father's made for the nether, he's miklash kolish. He weakens the nether. So you have a subpar nether that's remained. That subpar nether cannot be inherited, and therefore, when the husband dies, father can not get a hold of the right that he needs to be made for the nether. And that's why Beit Hillel holds you cannot be made fair in this case, right? And that was case number 6 that we mentioned in our chart. So So you just can see it. All right, next question in the Gemara.
The question in Beis Hillel, though, which we haven't addressed, is how can Beis Hillel say Miklash Kalish?
How come it's what?
How could Beis Hillel say Miklash Kalish? Where does he get the... Where does he have the right to say that the father's actions impinge upon the Baal's rights?
Where does it's not the Baal. Here the father is the one who's mefer, and the Baal dies.
No. In other words, when the father is mefer, it's Miklash Kalish.
The entire netter.
The entire netter. Right. What gives Beis Hillel the right to say that the father's actions invade the sphere of the Baal's sphere of influence?
That's the Gemara's original question of how Hafara works. I mean, when you have joint ownership, right, you can have...
Okay, we answer it. We say that Beis Hillel says Miklash Kalish. Right. Beis Shammai says Megas Gaius. But we don't say what the mechanism is.
Right. I mean, but it's a logical... The question of the Gemara is a logical question of how you view joint ownership. Whenever you have joint ownership, do we say that each of us owns 50% of the item, and therefore when we can... But when we exercise our rights, we exercise our right only with regards to that 50%. Or to be safe, we both fully own, right? We both 50% own 100% of this, right?
That's what we passed by Chatzar also, right?
Right. That was the same question by Chatzar. That was the Ron Chiddush by Chatzar. Right? Everybody else said, no, the Chatzar splits in half into 50-50. I mean, that we're trying to divide up the Chatzar, and the Huvra Dabar is that this is my 50 and your 50. The Ron says, no. We always own, each of us always owns 100%. The differentiation is, when do I use it and when do you use it?
In this case, though, it doesn't go both ways. So,
what do you mean it doesn't go both? The Baal can be Miklash Kalish. The Baal is able to weaken it and weaken it the same amount.
Oh, because the father's rights are stronger, he can deal with
exactly.
It.
Yes, exactly. That's the issue. You're asking me why is it not even according to Beis Hillel? That's a good question, and that's what we explained yesterday, that the father and the Baal are not equal. If they were equal, your question is a good question, why the cases don't come out the same. The problem is, or not the problem, the issue is, and we said this before we started, that the father has much stronger rights than the husband, and that's like Muskam Lakol. But the father clearly has like 75% and 25%. That's more of what the balance is rather than 50-50. I'm making up the percentages, but I'm just saying that the father clearly has greater rights than the husband has over here. And it makes somewhat of sense, you know, only because the father already,
established it.
Yeah, exactly. His rights are already established, and you're trying to take away his rights, whereas the husband is the new one entering, it's like the new partner.
New kid.
Right, the new partner, you know, it's a junior partner coming in, and he's a senior partner, and that changes as he gets married, you know, I mean, as you move through the stages. Alright, now the Gemara asks a question. By Rabbi, yes, Shayla Behekim, or ain't Shayla Behekim? Okay, so now this is a question. We've made an assumption in our Gemara until this point, that if you're Mekayim the Nether, that you could go get a petach to the Hakama, and that you could go get and reverse your Hakama to Neder. Right? That was the case we had 2 days ago on the Daf, right, where he was Mekayim the Neder, and there was a Hafara, because he had that we had the Machlokes Rishonim, what the conclusion of the Gemara was, but we said that if the Shnei Bavat Achad, what does his Hakama do? When he's made for the Hakama, what happens? The question is, can you even be made for Hakama? Like we didn't address that issue. So, Imtim Salomar, Yesh Shela Behekim, and if you say there is such a thing as Shela Behekim, so now the Gemara is basically assuming there is such a case, that a Hekim, Hakamas a Neder, is somewhat akin to taking a Neder. Since you're making the Neder, you're doing a positive action. If you're doing a positive action, you can go back and say, I regret, or I made a bit of a toast, and therefore I want to reverse that which I did earlier. Right, this is following the Rambam's basic sheet that we've mentioned this in the past. Whenever the Gemara says Imtim Salomar and moves on, the Rambam always paskens like the Imtim Salomar. He says the Gemara has now concluded that section, and the next question is the question posed. Not everybody learns that way. When the Gemara concludes the Teiku after a series of Imtim Salomars, some Rishonim believe that's a Teiku on the whole set. The Rambam believes Imtim Salomar means the Gemara concluded that section. So that's what we're saying. So far, the Gemara says, since it's a positive action, bad game, Yeshela. But how fair? Right, is Shayla Behefer or ain't Shayla Behefer? This is an amazing question. If you do a Hafara, can you do Shayla Senedah or can you not do Shayla Senedah? Right, it's difficult to even, you know, conceptualize why by Hafara should you be able to be, be reversed that, because it's in a sense, it's a negative action. Okay, you're taking your Hafara, you're removing her Nedah. Right? You're not doing something positive where you're making something, you're establishing something, you're actually undermining something. Right? So then to come to reverse that undermining, look, you can understand he had to say something, he did something, an action, but the action is a negative action.
Are we talking about where the Arus does it or where a husband does it?
Either.
When a husband does it, it's fully Mufar. But when an Arus does it, it's half Mufar.
But either case.
No, what about, even more, what about if the Arus and the father
Both are mayfair.
Both are mayfair. Can you...
Right, that's the shayla here. Can you go and undermine it? Can you go do a petach?
Not just half of it, but...
Right, the whole thing. Can they both go back? I mean, that's the question here. Does it work at all with hafaras? The Gemara says, Pashman Yochan, Nishal and Ahekim, and Nishal and Ahever. Look, I don't know. It seems like the conclusion is pretty straightforward. The Gemara doesn't give a logic. I mean, the logic seems obvious, but the answer to Rabbi Yochanan is that you can do shayla hataras. You can do hataras kafam by when you're doing something positive, when you're making the neder. When you're doing a fara, there's nothing to talk about because you've undermined the nether. You want to be making the nether. And you're like, think about it. If you did a fara, you want to be making the nether, just take the nether again. Right? There's an easy way to get around this. Meaning that if you sit back and she took a nether, and then he's made for the nether. Just take the nether again if you want the nether to be in a place. That doesn't work by making. If you want to be made for the nether and you're making the nether, you've done something positive where the nether now stands. Right? So you can't go back and say, oh, be made for the nether. Now you can't do that. You have to, right? The only way to undo that is to be undermine the kiyum that you did. So that would be the difference, to me at least logically, between the two cases. Alright.
Also, on the other flip side of that is, when you're making the nether, you don't need to be making the nether. If no one's making,
I mean, if you're
then,
silent,
then the nether stands.
The default
we
state.
Don't need you.
Right.
Since we don't need you, we can do away with your hakama.
Uh-huh. Right, that's harder. I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure that should be a reason to be
matched in the nether. Is to then subsequently be made for
it's a weaker act right. than the part of the Baal.
It is.
It's a less significant act. And
right, but that should make it less likely that you can be a petach. Right. I mean, I pointed out the Ron. The Ron says the Habamina is that it's clear by Hafara you can't be a petach in the nether. The only reason is because if the Pasuk over here says, Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yiferenu, and Pasuk Yadalit, a man can be making it and he can be made for it. So there's a hekesh between hekim and Hafara. So that's what the Ron says. The Ron says that the Gemara never thinks you can do a petach l'neder by hafara. Just the point is that the Gemara thinks you can do it by hekeim. Since you can't do it by hekeim, maybe that hekesh allows you to do it by hafara, even though it's not a logical thing to do. And the Gemara's conclusion from Rabbi Yochanan is that that hekesh is not active in this situation. That we don't say the hekesh applies in this situation. All right, next. Only gets better. Hi, Rabba. Kaim loichi. Right, so this we had earlier in the Gemara, when this person says shvush lo echal, shvush lo echal, he takes two shvuah, and then he says a petach for the first shvuah. Does the second shvuah take effect? So there are two possibilities, from a logical standpoint, before you look in the Gemara, right, you have two possibilities. When you take two nedarim, or you take two shvuahs, so you can look at it one of two ways. Right, we know there's ein shvuah chal al shvuah. Right, so ein shvuah chal al shvuah, when you take the second shvuah, is the second shvuah therefore meaningless? Because I took a first shvuah, when I take the second shvuah, it's meaningless, and it's as if I said nothing, right? Or do we say no? The second, right? It's porech ba'avir, which was the term that they used over there. Meaning that the second shvuah is meaningless right now. It's only meaningless because there's a blocking. There's something blocking. What's blocking it? The first shvuah. But that means it will wait. It's in right. It's in the holding pen, right? Until we decide what happens with the first shvuah. Once the first shvuah is eliminated, then we can have the second shvuah, right, take impact. That is the question we had. Our Gemara concluded that shvush lo echel, shvush lo echel. If you get a Torah for the first shvuah, the second shvuah is chal. Korech v'ir, it waits to be chal until you're made to the nether. Same thing about akoma. So by rabba, kaim leichi, v'nishal akoma rishonu mao. What's going to happen by the second one? Tashma.
Everything or just by the zeros?
By anything, by any two shvuot. Shvush lo echel, shvush lo echel, same thing. Say korech v'avir. Yeah, we say Borach Babir. Tamar Rabba, no, by Naziris you have a different issue, which is that they can actually be Chal, because you can have two Neder Naziris be Chal in substance, in Kifsekiyah, right? That's what was different about Naziris. Alright, Tamar Rabba, Im Nishal Rishona, Shmiya Chal Olav. So I'm quoting this is the Gemara we saw earlier on Yitzhat, that when you mat your Neder on the first one, the second one takes effect. And so just like it works by Shavuos, it's gonna work like by Hekin. That when you have two Akamas, right, then if you eliminate the first comma, the second one will take effect. It's not as if the second statement you made is meaningless. The second statement is just waiting. It's holding on until it has a way to be chal.
Right. So you can then subsequently eliminate that one also?
If you get hatar for the second one, right. Exactly. Hi, Rabbo. Kaim laichi umufer laichi. If he says, I'm a kaimit for you, and I am made for it. Guess what? The comma won't work unless the hafara works. Alright, mahu. What's the din here? All right. Now this is an interesting case. They're going to bring up a machlokes that we've seen earlier. I'm going to read through the Gemara until its conclusion. The Gemara reads pretty fast, and then we'll go back and discuss what the issues are, exactly how the Gemara lays out. Tashma. Miplukta to Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yossi. This is something we've seen in the Machlokas of Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yossi. Where have we seen this Machlokas of Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yossi before? Right, the Machlokas in Tumer, we had it earlier in the Gemara. It's about Tofes Lashon Rishon or Tofes Lashon Achron. When a person says contradictory statements, right, when he makes two statements that are contradictory, does the person, do we say that whatever he said first is what's Tokev is in effect, and the second thing he says is a reversal and it doesn't work because he can't reverse it? Or do we say when a person makes a statement that's as such, he really means to say both? But he's unable, it's physically impossible for him to say the two items in a single moment. So he said them sequentially, not because he believes one and then the next, but because he wanted to put both of them into effect. That's called Tovei Tzav, Tovei Shloshon Achron, right? That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So that's why it's not. Harizu Tmurat Ola, Tmurat Tmurat Shlamim. Person who says, this is a Tmurat Ola, Tmurat Shlamim. Right, then, Hazeh, Tmurat Ola, Tiv Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says it only becomes a exchange for an Ola, not an exchange for Shlamim. Why? Because Tavah Shloshon Rishon. When he said Tmurat Ola, he did a full action. Now when he says Tmurat Shlamim, he's trying to reverse it. You can't reverse it. Once it's an Ola, you can't make it into a Shlamim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Lekach Mitzkave Mitzchila, Ho B'yev Shal Likod Shnei Shemot Ke'achad, Tzvarav Kayamim. Right, he says, well, even though you can't do that up front, the guy couldn't say Tmurat Ola and Shlamim because you can't say it. You can't say Ola Shlamim in one breath, right? It doesn't happen. So what does he say? He says, Tmurat Ola, Tmurat Shlamim. And he meant to make this single animal to both an Ola and a Shlamim. So what do you have to do? You have to wait for a mom, sell it, and then split the proceeds, one for a Shlamim and one for an Ola. So that's why, therefore, he is Shnei Kechad Barav Kayamim. His whole full statement will be Kayam. Right. Over there, Rabbi Meir, right, only says it because what? That he didn't make a specific tenai in his statement. He said Tmurat Olah and Tmurat Shlamim. So he made a sequential statement, and he did not connect the two statements. Right, he had no tenai in those statements. Therefore, we say the first one is in Tokef, the second one is a reversal of his first statement. It doesn't work. But in our case over here, he says, what does he do? He says Hakama, then he says Hafara, but after that he says that the Hakama is Taloi on the Hafara. So he connects the two back together again. So even Rabbi Meir will be Moda in the case where you connect them together, that he is.
His intention.
Right, his intention is that he wants to affect both of them.
Because Rabbi Meir wouldn't have to state that condition first?
Right, that's an interesting question. The Gemara here has the state that Tanai at the end. But that's again because he can't say it beforehand. You might be at other issues, which again, tonight cannot bnei gad bnei ruvein, which require the tonight to be saying amaisa. All right, there are other conditions that, without getting into the halachos of tonight, where you might have problems here, because you might have to have tonight go to the amaisa, especially according to Rabbi Meir, who I think holds up all the same right bnei ruvein. He may need a tonight kofel. But leaving all those things out, say that he does it right. All right, assuming he does it right, that even Rabbi Meir might be molded in this case. Okay. The farah chalav. So now, that's the end of the Gemara. Ellen
but why? Why would it apply according to Rabbi Meir? Why would the Hafara apply?
Okay, hold on a second. Aval Hafa, Damar Lo Tichol HaKama, Ellen Kain, Aval Hafara, Rabbi Meir, Nami Mode. The Hafara Chala, that it works. Okay, that's the conclusion of the Gemara. All right, now, what happened in this Gemara? All right, that's the bigger question. Tzvi, I think maybe you're asking that question. But what exactly, how are we comparing this to Tmurat Shlamim and Tmurat Olah? And how do you have Chala? The two are different. Why are they different? Because you can never have the Hafara and the HaKama be together. As opposed to Shlamim and Olah, where the two could be at the same time, they could be simultaneous. That is not true of Hakama and Hafara. So what exactly is going on in the Gemara? And that's what the Ran over here spends some time. It shows that the question in the Gemara here is not about whether it's, that it's, by definition, it's Mufar. And the Gemara is not a question about whether they're both Mekuyam or not Mekuyam. If you look in the Ran, again, the Ran has his good statement here on Samach Tenam and Aleph. The Ran, the third line from the bottom there. The third line from the bottom in the Ran on Samach Tenam and Aleph. He says, Chazina Bahak Baya. Right, again, he makes the statement, this is the second time, the third time this Ran said it in the last two dafim, but he said, Rishonim have said many things about this, but make no sense. I'm going to explain what I really think. Right, and again, so the Rabbah, so listen to this, the Rabbah Pshitalei, the Akama lo chayla. There's no question, according to Rabbah, that the Akama does not work here. Okay, that's for sure. The only question is, Mimana Shach. He says, either way, no matter which two of these sides, what's the case? If the hafara works, then by definition, the Hakama does not work. Right? And if you say, right, that's one side of it, the Hilakama must be Shiny Adam, there's not some kids will come up for a vowel. Right, let's skip to the next wave. Via marked, second line in the round here. Via marked, this is the second word in the line. Via marked, the far lo chayla mina da kama da lo chayla. The far doesn't work, there was a tonight. So that if there's no hafar, there's no hakama. So you said the cheat delay the rabble that there's no hakama here. So what is the question of rabble? Because the way he stated it, right, he meant that the hakama has to take effect before, because he said them in order. He said hakama, then afar, but then he made the tonight. So when he said that tonight, we know for sure that hakama is not working. The question is, does hafara work here or not? Is hafara meaningless? Because why? He says, I have to have that, because I said it, hakama first, then hafara. He meant that hakama should take first and then hafara, which can't happen. Since that can't happen, there is no hafara either. Or because he put the tonight at the end and said that the hafara only works if the hakama only works if the hafara works, means the hakama doesn't work, but the hafara does work. And since the hafara works, it's a good hafara. Now we can understand what's the comparison to the case of Tmurat Shlamim, right, or Tmurat Ola. So that, so if you look in the widest lines in the Ran, one line up from the widest lines in the Ran, the Kol Modim. You see that, the Kol Modim, one line up from the widest lines in the Ran, about Kol Modim. The Kol Modim, the Omer Tuchuzu, Vakakak Tuchuzu, this is in the case of Tmurat Shlamim, Tmurat Ola. If you say this should happen and then this should happen, Dibrei Kol Papa Shloshan Rishon, that the first one works. Even Rabbi Yossi is going to agree in that case, that what? That it's the Papa Shloshan Rishon. Dakil Rabbi Yossi Modim, Shum, Di'ef Shah, the Vata, the Chazi Tmurat Ola, Tachol Tmurat Shlamim. So you can't do that. So if you say Tuchuzu and then Vakakak Tuchuzu, that doesn't work, because once the first one takes effect, the second one can't take effect. Even Rabbi Yossi agrees to that. Once the first one takes effect.
What's the difference? Is he actually saying Biachaka?
Yeah. Okay.
Then
in the case, Lo Tochozu, Im Kain Kalta Zu, Barbayu Kacha. Even Rabbi Meir is going to agree in a case where you say this will not take effect unless the other one takes effect, that they both work. Meaning that if you make your statement, when you make the statement of Shlomim and Olah, you make it clear that you will only have the second one effective if the first one is effective, or the first one effective only if the second one is effective, and it's clear that you're doing it with, right, you're trying to do it together, you're trying to have them be simultaneous. In that case, even Rabbi Meir agrees that it works. So here we have Rabbi Yossi agreeing when you say, if you say them sequentially, and you make it clear you're doing it sequentially, even Rabbi Yossi agrees. If you make it clear that you're doing it simultaneous, then even Rabbi Meir agrees. So where is their machlokes? Right? If you skip down one line from where we are, skip down one line, no nechluku, elab omer tmurat ola, tmurat shlamim. The only case where they argue is where you say tmurat ola and tmurat shlamim. Why? Because you could have said tmurat ola ushlamim. If you really wanted them to be simultaneous, you would have said tmurat ola ushlamim. The fact that you added the extra word tmurah is the problem here. But Meir says by the addition of the extra word tmurah, it means that you are chozer b'dvarav. You're trying to go back on what reversed your original statement. Because you're trying to go back on your original statement, it does not work. Rabbi Yossi says, no, this guy thought that you have to say the word tmurah for it to work. So when he said tmurat ola tmurat shlamim, it's the equivalent of saying tmurat ola ushlamim. He added the extra word tmurah not to be ma'asik to reverse it, but to say that it's as strong as the first one. And therefore, it's tafus apishnei dvarav, right? He's both. So now, if here we go, you skip down another three lines in the round from where we are now. It's the last two words on the line. Alma plutayu. You see that? Alma plutayu. Alma plutayu. The Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, talia b'motzi shnei milshemos pepiv. That there, my focus has to do with when you put out, when you say two things from your word. Does one happen after the other, or they happen simultaneously? It's impossible to say them simultaneously. According to Rabbi Yossi, our Gemara, a question of Rabba is not even a question. Why? Right? He didn't say after a comma. He meant to say it at once. Therefore, it for sure works. Because if you're doing them simultaneous, right, then for sure the hafara works and the comma does not work. Because the comma is totally on the hafara. Since the comma is totally on the hafara, the hafara stands.
In the case of words, there is
a possibility to have both of them stand. But that's what the Quran is saying here. That's why by Rabbi Yossi it's not a question. Agamar is not a question at all, because if they were to, if they happen simultaneously, Hafar is going to take precedence. Why is Hafar going to take precedence? Because you have that Tanai that says that the Hakama will only work if the Hafar works. So since that's the case, Hafar will go first, and if Hafar goes first, then you're okay. Alright, we don't get it. This is a Gemara tomorrow. We won't get into this. Vafilu, you keep going the Gemara a little bit further down. Vafilu Rabbi Meir, Nama Pashtin and Haki. And to Rabbi Meir, we answer up that he holds the same condition of Rabbi Yossi. That's what the Ron said above. That even Rabbi Meir admits, in this case, that it's the equivalent of a simultaneous statement. Why? Because you said, Lotokuzu, Elaim Kain, Tafa, Zu. In that case, Rabbi Meir agrees that it's simultaneous, and Rabbi Meir does not say, Tafa, Lazan, Rishon. And that's the conclusion of the Gemara. Alright? If you look, right, so the Ran points out that the Rebbe Meir's, later on the Ran points out, the Rebbe Meir's position in Temura is all because he added the word Temura, right? The extra word Temura. In our case, he's not adding any extra words. So why should it be that case? He says no, because over here, he says there's no extra words to add. That's what the Ran says. By Temura, you could say Temura Olah Shlamim, or Temura Olah Temura Shlamim. That's what drives Rebbe Meir's opinion. In our case, over here, right, Haka, she if shall come up for the chuka akas, a few belavlishne yisera, I mean, there, you love them shum atne. Since Hakam and Afara can never coexist, right, therefore, the extra lashon is not meaningful, number one, and number two is, you don't need the zecher zeh. To have it be vadachas, you don't need it to be zecher zeh also to work. So, the Gemara has a principle, we're going to see this tomorrow's Gemara, that when something is, can work only simultaneously, only if it works sequentially. If Hakam and Afara cannot work sequentially, how can they work with vadachas? That the Ron says, no, only when something has the possibility of working sequentially, do you have to have it work sequentially in order to work simultaneously. But Hakam and Afar never have the possibility of being working sequentially, and therefore, that condition will not be a condition in order for it to happen simultaneously.
I would say that the word lefi is equivalent to tzmur over there. Just kaim lefi, umufar lefi. You could just say kaim umufar lefi.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good point. Alright, anyway, so that's the explanation of the sugya. We got the sugya so far. The Ran explains the sugya. Number one is that there's no question when you do this hakama hafara, you know, this tali of echad b'sheni, no question about the hakama does not work, and he says mimanafsha. Either because, right, the hakama was tali on the hafara, and the hafara worked, so therefore there's no hakama, or neither worked, because if neither worked, the hafara is not there, the hakama is not there. So the hakama is not a question. The only question is the hafara. The hafara we bring my focus will be Yossi and Rabbi Meir, and we say, listen, we know by Machlokas Rabbi Yair and Rabbi Yossi that it depends. When you say two simultaneous, two contradicting statements in some sense, are you really saying them what a reversal of your previous statement, or are you right trying to do them simultaneously? So which of the ways? So according to Rabbi Yossi, it's clear that you're trying to do them simultaneously, and therefore in our case it'll work. And according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not a question that Hafara works, because when you do it simultaneously, the Hafara takes precedence. Because you tell it, you're mitlad the hakama with afara, and therefore the afara works. According to Rabbi Meir is the question, because Rabbi Meir says tafas loshen rishon. So when you said the hakama first, then you said the afara, and then you made the tanai, maybe you meant for the hakama to work, then the hafara, and only the hafara, then to go back and make the tanai on the hakama. So maybe because of that, tafas loshen rishon, if that's the case, then the hafara doesn't exist. Because if the hakama went first, then the hafara has nowhere to go, and if the hakama is not there, because the hafara is not there either, that was the tanai, but the hafara is also not there. I mean, that you have neither work because of Rabbi Meir. Gemara's conclusion is no, that even Rabbi Meir is modeh, even Rabbi Meir agrees when you put in a condition that's such that you're trying to do it simultaneously. There, machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi in the end is only in a case where you do this tumuras olah, tumuras shlamim, where you do this extra lashon. The question is, are you interrupting or are you trying to do it simultaneously or sequentially? Right? That's the conclusion of that piece of Gemara. I don't think it's so simple. But if we explained it according to the Ran, I think it's, you know, we got the basic highlights, the way to read this Gemara. All right, now, the next statement in the Gemara, Tashma. Gemara says, oh wait, hold on. I'm the next case in the Gemara. All right, Bali Rabba, Kayim Umofar Laiki Bavat Akad. What happens if he says, this is like Shoal, what you're suggesting, by the way, because here it says Kayim Umofar Laiki versus Kayim Laiki Umofar Laiki. I think it's a good point. So Bali Rabba, the only difference, again, I only point out the difference is that Kayim and Mufar cannot coexist. And so maybe the extra lesson is meaningless, and I think that's what the Ron's suggesting. But Kayim and Mufar likely bevat achas mahu. He says them simultaneously. What is it? Tashma, Dhamma Rabba, Kolnet, Dhamma She'inu bezechazeh, and Afili bachat enu. Since they can't exist one after the other, they can't be, right, bevat achas. And since you can't be Mekayim it and then make for it, or make for it and then Mekayim it, since you can't do that, then you can't have them be chal simultaneously. As opposed to if you had Tumat in Tumurat Shalamim and then Tumurat Allah, or Tumurat Shalamim and then Tumurat Allah, since they could exist one after the other, right, then they can exist Bevat Achat, right? I'll ask the question, and then we're gonna stop, because the Gemara can teach all the way to the Mishnah on the next page. Hi, Rabba, Kaim Lechi Ayom, Mahu. He says, it'll be Mekuyam today. What does that mean? Me and command Amar Mufar Lechi for the Machar, it's Mufar tomorrow, or Dilma Ha Lo Amar Lo. He didn't say that. He just said, Kaim Lechi Ayom. Kaim Lechi Ayom is the equivalent of being silent today. When you're silent on the day of the Nether, what happens? It's automatically default Mekuyam forever. Right, so the same thing here. When he's mekayim it for the day, it's as if he turned on the default. Once the default's on, he becomes mekuyam forever. So do we infer from the statement of kaim lechi that it means mufar afterwards, or do we mean that once he's mekayim it, then it switches on to the default?
Well, could he be mefer tomorrow?
No,
mefer tomorrow.
No, but
it doesn't work.
Maybe it would work there. Why? We'll see in the case later on.
If he says on the same day that he hears it, I'm maybe
tomorrow.
Effective as of tomorrow.
Is that right? That's the whole question. Doesn't have any.
No, but maybe because what we're saying now is the Kaim Laichi is an assumption that the default is that he wants that to remain in place forever. That's the default of the Kiyum, right? But if he clearly states that it's Mufar from here on in, it's not clear that his Kiyum was really a Kiyum.
So that means you have to say that the Mefer is from today, not from tomorrow. Because you said that point blank, I'm mefer from tomorrow.
No, but that might be enough, because that might be enough to say that he's really not mekayim the nether, because the nether is not mekuyam in that
state.
No, but he's not being mefer tomorrow. He's saying today, as of today, it's mufar from tomorrow.
The question could you do that?
Right. I'm saying that, the Gemara's question, the Gemara's going to get to other questions and more, the Gemara's going to get to that. I'm in the intimacy of Lomar, so the Gemara's going to go to
the question. But the way he's saying now is that if he does, it's not, it could be that the Kiyum is not a Kiyum in the head.
Because a Kiyum is not a Kiyum, it's as if the Hafara, because a Kiyum means, I'm a Kiyum it forever. Right? That's the definition of Kiyum. Right? So the Gemara says, okay, but when he says Kiyum without Hafara in it, okay, now what does he mean? Does he mean it's Mekuyam today? And once it's Mekuyam today, the default situation becomes Mekuyam forever? Or do you mean that it's Mekuyam today, and then it's Hafara tomorrow? If he does that, then he hasn't done a real Kiyum, because a Kiyum means I'm Mekayim it forever. So I failed, because I wasn't Mekayim it forever. So that's the equivalent of Hafara. Because if I say it doesn't work from tomorrow and on, it's as if I said it's not going to work. It's as if it's not a good Nether. That's what it means. It doesn't mean Hafara, it doesn't mean Kiyum. So if he explicitly said that it was Hafara, maybe that would be a Hafara. The question is, if when he says Kiyum, and then he says, right, he doesn't say the Hafara piece of it, what did he mean by that? Then we have to assume what he meant in the second half. And then we'll do it tomorrow. The Gemara gets down to smaller minutiae of the relationship between Kiyom and Hafara. Right, we'll stop here.